This week, Israel assassinated one of the leaders of Hamas, Salah al-Harari, something like this. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. He was a guy that until now I never heard about him, but they say he's one of the biggest machers there. Then one of the Israeli reporters told this week that right after the Gilad Shalit deal, when they released over 1,000 terrorists for one soldier, he was one of the architects of the deal from the Hamas side. Somebody gave him the cell phone number of this guy, and he called him in Damascus. And the guy picked up the phone and had with him a 50-minute conversation. He interviewed him. And among the things he told him, he told him, "I wish you guys would never accept the deal with Gilad Shalit." Told him, "Why? Don't you want to release your prisoners? You got such an unbelievable deal of over 1,000 terrorists." Told him, "Yes. But me as an enemy, I wish he wouldn't take it because this would tear the Israeli society, divide Israeli society into two camps, and that would destroy you better." Yeah. And he rather the Israel not accepting the deal and start a fight within Israel, and this will do the best service to the Hamas. They says he hung up the phone and he realized. The guy spoke perfect Hebrew. He learned the Hebrew in the Israeli jails. He was in the Israeli jails in and out for 15 years or something. Then he says he understood how much he learned the Israeli society and how much he knows how to manipulate the Israeli society. He knows the media, he knows everything. And he says it's better for him to destroy it. And that's what really after 2 days after the October 7 attack, the Hamas leader said clearly that one of the reasons why they attack now is because of the rift and the fight, the civil war almost that was in Israel before the October 7 war. Because they knew Israel is in a weak point, the Israelis are hating each other, then this is the time to attack. And they were actually right to our dismay. Eventually, the Israelis came together. They didn't expect to get such a reaction, but that was the original. That's what they were thinking. This idea that the fight between us is the best is our best enemy, is our biggest enemy, is nothing new. It started in Egypt. This week we start to read the book of Exodus. It starts to tell the story of the exile and the exodus from Egypt. In chapter 3, the Torah tells us about Moses meeting God. He was a shepherd. He saw the burning bush. He got closer. He wanted to see why is the bush not being consumed by the fire. Suddenly, he hears the word Moses, Moses, and God starts speaking to him. God tells him, "I want you to go. I see the suffering of my children in Egypt. I want you to go to Israel, to Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to tell them let my people go." He says, "Who is Pharaoh? Why is Pharaoh going to listen to me? Who am I?" Tell them, "Go. I will go. I'm going with you. You're not going by yourself. I'll be there with you." Then he starts to say, "But the Jews will never believe me." God tells them they believe you, and he gives them fines. It goes on a business for 7 days, an argument of 7 days. But in these conversations, God told them, "Don't think that Pharaoh will let you will try to." He said, "Yeah, sure. You want to go? I want we'll go. It will be a very hard journey. We'll have to teach him a few lessons. We have to give him some punishment, the 10 plagues. Eventually, he will let the Jewish people go." Finally, after 7 days, Moses tries to find any excuse in the book to get out of it. God tells him, "Just go." Said, "Okay, he's going." He comes to Egypt. He speaks to the Israelites, to all the elders, to the leaders, and they actually believe him. He says they will not believe. They believe him. They're excited. Yeah, finally, God is sending somebody to let us to take us out of Egypt. Great. He puts together a delegation with all the elders. They're going to Pharaoh. Guess what? By the door, by the Pharaoh's, by the door, by the gate to the palace. Looks around. All the leaders disappeared somehow. Everybody had an appointment. They had to go to the doctor. They had to go to the, his wife called him on his cell phone. They all disappeared. There was Moses in there, and they were scared. Moses looked at Aaron, Aaron looks at Moses. They said to each other, we have no choice. God told us to go. We have to go. They're going into Pharaoh's palace. Told them, the God of Israel sent us to you. Let my people go. Pharaoh said, I never heard of the God of Israel. In my books, there's no such God. I have a book with all the names of all the gods. I never heard of such a God. And you, Moses and Aaron, what are you looking for troubles? Go do what you're supposed to do. Why are you trying? Why is trying to disturb the Jews from the walk? The workers. He talked to workers, the workforce, not like slaves. No, they're working. They're productive. What are you doing? Go. What are you wasting the time? Go back to your business and he sent them out. As he sent them out, he gave a new order. He called his officers and he says, from now on, the order was that the government, until now, the government used to provide them with the straw, and the Jews made the bricks. And it was a certain amount of bricks that they had to deliver every day, produce every day. He says, from now on, the government will not provide them with straw. They will have to find the straw on their own, and they'll have to produce the same amount of bricks as they did before. Why? They are lazy. They have too much time to think about going out to the desert to serve God. Oh, you have time to dream about redemption, about vacations. I'll teach you a lesson. You'll walk. You'll be so tired and not have time to dream, to think, nothing. The officers came out and delivered the message to the Jews. Oh, it became a big balagan. Jews started to run around to look for straw, right? Now, this doesn't help to the unity between the Jews. You understand what I'm saying? If I need straw and you need straw, we're ending up fighting over the same amount of the same straw. No matter how far you go, there is so many slaves that created right a rift between the Jewish people. But then there was something worse than that. No, just, you know, during the Nazi in the camps, there were the kapos. Jewish people were in charge of all the Jews. They should deliver the amount of work of to live up to the quota of work that they had to do. During the Nazi time, the couples were not nice to the Jewish brothers. But in the time of in Egypt, there were also couples. And every 20 slaves, every 50 slaves, that the Jew in charge of them. They told to the couples, to the Jewish couples, you better deliver the amount of bricks. The Jews couldn't deliver that. The half a day they were wasting just of collecting the store. And the couples were merciful on the Jews. They loved them. They didn't beat them up. They tried to help them as many bricks as they can. By the evening, when they had to deliver to the Egyptian police the amount of bricks, they didn't have enough. They were lashed and beaten for not delivering the right amount of bricks. Now the leaders, the couples, the Jewish couples, the police, they said, this is crazy. We have to go to Pharaoh. What happened to him? They put together a delegation to go to Pharaoh. Now they tell these guys, go to Pharaoh, they're risking their life. They don't know. In Pharaoh's palace, you know how you go in. You never know how you go out. By the doors of Pharaoh's, by the gates, there were piles of limbs of human beings. Just to teach people, just to remind people, this is a serious business here. You come out as you walk in alive and you come out with pieces. Then the bottom line, they went to Pharaoh. The kapos, the Jewish officers, good officers, went to Pharaoh. And they told them, well, what do you do? We worked, we served you loyal. We produced such a big amount of bricks. What are you doing to us now? You're beating us up for no reason. There's no chance. It's not realistic. There's no you're making us into enemies, into trying to not to fulfill your wishes. It's impossible to do it. What have we done wrong? Told them, you guys want to leave Egypt. No, you want to go to serve God in the desert. Nirpim atem nirpim. Lazy, you are lazy, he said to them. I'll show you dreaming about about vacations in the Caribbean. You will work so hard, you'll never have time to dream. Oh, now they realize who is the fool who created all these Torahs. It's Moses and Aaron. They came up with this idea of going, let's get out of Egypt. As they go out of their palace, Moses and Aaron are coming to Pharaoh to tell them, let my people go the second time. By the door, by the outside, as they get out, they tell Moses, they greet Moses and says, God will punish you. God will judge you. What you have done to us. You made us look bad in the eyes of Pharaoh. Because of you, we have this Torah. Pharaoh accomplished exactly what he wanted. Pharaoh is the enemy. Pharaoh is torturing them, but who is blaming? Whose fault is it? The Jews. Moses and Aaron. Now the Jews are not against Pharaoh. Now they're blaming Moses and Aaron. It's your fault that Pharaoh is so mean to us. The same Jews who were days before so excited to hear the news of the God sent Moses to take the Jews out of Egypt, the same Jews turned against the whole idea. It's your fault. It's you. Pharaoh just can't sit and wash his hands and excited. Aha, look what they accomplished. Not only they walk out, they suffer out there. They're blaming their own brothers. They're blaming the leaders. That's one step. It's getting worse. When Moses realized that it's because of him that things got worse to the Jewish people, he got very upset. He turned to God and he cried out to God. He says, God, what have you done to your people? Why have you mistreated your people? Because and if you ask why I care, it's because of me. Didn't I ask you not to go? Not only I didn't make things better, I made things worse. Look what happened. The Jews are fighting with Moses. Moses is arguing with God. And not only this, because of this, Moses, God punished. God told them in his answer, God told them, you will see, it's going to work out. But you'll see how you take him down from Egypt. And the Rashi brings on the Talmud, but you will not see how I led them out into the land of Israel. Right there, before anything starts, you already lost the right to live to enter the land of Israel. And you think Moses did not know he might risk he going to be punished? He knew, but he was so upset that the Jews suffered, he cried out to God. Didn't Pharaoh accomplish exactly what he wanted? The Jews against Moses, Moses against God. Couldn't be better. That's exactly what happened here. Even October 7, we all united to fight the Hamas. But in Israel, the left blames the right because of them, the war broke out. The right blames the left because of them, the war broke out. And the Hamas leaders are just enjoying it every minute of it. What God told Moses? God told Moses, don't worry. Before it gets very dark, before the light comes down out, but before dawn, it gets very dark. You know what they're saying? Darkest before the dawn. Even that scientifically, it's not true. The darkest is midnight. But the darkest before the dawn, if you're up all night, the hardest time for you to keep your eyes open is right before dawn. That's the hardest time of a human being. Mm-hmm. It looks the darkest. What does this mean, the darkest? Why it's like it's like this? There is a story about a Hasidic story about a Jew who was very successful in shtetl. But you know, the wheel of fortune started to turn bad on the wrong side. He started to lose and lose and lose and lose and lose. He's left with nothing. He has to sell his house, he has to sell his car, he has to sell everything that he has. And it just got worse and worse. One day he goes to the mikveh, Friday afternoon, just go to the mikveh, to the bed house. To take care to wash themselves before Shabbat. He walks out to the dressing room, and guess what? His clothing disappeared. His pants? He doesn't have a pants. Right? He cannot live. He cannot live. This guy saw this. He started to dance. You know, when you see a naked person dances in the mikveh, it looks pretty crazy, right? People thought he had a nervous breakdown. He went mad. He went crazy.
Right.
And people at Rachmonis, you know, Joseph Rachmonis, one people went on, one guy bought a pair of pants, the other one bought them a shirt, or a little bigger, a little smaller. They dressed them up, they sent them out of the mikveh, the guys to go. Fine. A while passed, the guy started to do business again. Worked one business deal, another business deal, a third business deal, getting better and better and better. And he really came back to himself. A year or 2 years later, one Jew meets him on the street and tells him, tell me, I was there on that Friday. You know what I mean, that Friday? The Friday that you own no clothing. I saw you dancing in the mikveh. You know, I thought then that you went mad. You're crazy. But now I see you didn't go any crazy. You're very normal.
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking? What were you dancing about? What was the dancing all about? He told him, you know, life is like a wheel of fortune, turning around. It's called a wheel of fortune, right? Mm-hmm. That's the word for it. Then he says, as long as things got down and down, I was always worried that it can get worse. It can get worse. It can get worse. But when I saw that I came out from the mikveh, and I don't even have clothing to wear, I knew I eat rock bottom. I know from this point it can only get better. That's what Moses told the Jews. That's what God told Moses. It's dark. It's very dark. It got so bad. From this point, it's going to start to get better. I hope and pray that after October 7 was really a rock bottom. That was really, really bad news. It was never as bad since the Holocaust. And one day, so many Jews to be killed. I believe that Israel will get out of it and start to get better and better and better. Until the coming of Mashiach in our days. Amen.